You're listening to The Taxcast from the Tax Justice Network, available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com. I'm Naomi Fowler, and each month I'll be bringing you news and analysis of a subject our politicians don't want to talk about. Tax havens, the secrets of the shadow banking system, and financial abuses that have brought the world economy to its knees. I'll show you what's really going on, how we're paying for it, and what we can do about it. But first, the Taxcast news headlines for this month. The sounds of Greece's new Prime Minister, Antonis Samaras, being sworn in earlier this month. He's promised to get Greece out of its financial crisis, with God's help. But the single most useful thing for Greece and the rest of southern Europe, in fact, would be an end to largely northern European banking secrecy. If Greece could find and tax the estimated 600 billion euros wealthy Greeks and Greek corporations have hidden in Swiss banks alone, it'd go a long way to solving its problems. More on that later. Tax justice campaigners' UK Uncut legal action had an important victory this month. A judge ruled they can go ahead with their case against the British tax authorities. UK Uncut says Revenue and Customs did an unlawful deal with multi-billion dollar bank Goldman Sachs, letting them off paying £10 million interest from an accumulated unpaid tax bill. Richard Murphy of Tax Research UK.
It's never happened before that any pressure group has taken our tax authority to the courts and said, we want your decision-making process to be put under the judicial review of a judge to decide, were you legal or not? That's amazing.
The case is being funded by thousands of small donations from individuals. It'll be heard later this year. Who are the beneficiaries of the Colombian drug trade? Apparently quite a few Western banks, according to research translated into English this month by two economists from Bogota's University of the Andes in Colombia. They estimate annual cocaine profits are at least $300 billion, and much of that's laundered through various tax havens. The report's authors claim financial regulators are reluctant to investigate big banks. Tax haven researcher and financial crime writer Jeffrey Robinson.
There are very little controls. There is very little regulation. Nobody much cares because, after all, the bankers who could solve the problem in Switzerland or in the Caymans and are, in the end, dealing with this dirty money, have no interest to stop it. That's how they earn their living.
Leaders of the most economically powerful countries in the world held their G20 meeting this month in Mexico. Years ago, the G20 promised to end banking secrecy, but foreign-owned bank deposits in tax havens are still around $2.7 trillion, and we still don't know who owns and profits from trusts and companies registered there. And those are the Taxcast headlines. Now we're going to talk to Richard Murphy for his take on tax justice events this month. Okay, Richard, let's start by looking at tax in the UK, because tax has become very newsworthy this month. One very famous comedian, Jimmy Carr, caught using a tax avoidance scheme which enabled him to pay as little as 1% tax, I believe.
Quite an extraordinary month in the UK with regard to tax. The Times newspaper, oddly owned by the Murdoch Group, who are well known for, well, their tax avoidance activity, have run a series on tax avoidance by well-known UK people, including the comedian Jimmy Carr. As a result of the combination of those deals, some in the UK, some offshore, in Jimmy Carr's case, almost inevitably in Jersey, they've ended up paying little or no tax at all, or got, in some cases, very big refunds from HM Revenue and Customs. Prime Minister David Cameron has intervened and has decided to say that he thinks tax is a moral issue, that the comedian Jimmy Carr should have paid his fair tax to society. And actually, what David Cameron has revealed is the hypocrisy at the core of politics.
Indeed, because the British government's allowing tax haven use by companies and they're going to be able to save themselves a lot of tax, paying some of them 5.5%.
Yes. So the hypocrisy of, on the one hand, criticising Jimmy Carr and at the same time actually encouraging companies to do something remarkably similar is becoming very transparent. And what this reveals is that our politicians really don't know anything very much about this.
Okay, can we move on and talk about Greece? It's got a serious financial crisis, but it turns out that there's at least 600 billion euros hidden away in Switzerland. This is not money of poor Greeks who are now suffering austerity measures. This is the money of Greek corporations, the Greek wealthy. It would be nice if they could find this money and tax it.
I reckon that about a quarter of the Greek economy is untaxed. And if it was able to collect that tax, then it could repay its debts in less than 10 years and it wouldn't have to go through the crisis of cuts that it's now facing and the austerity. Now, one reason why a lot of that money is not being collected is because it's being hidden in tax havens like Switzerland, which until recently, of course, had an almost impregnable secrecy arrangement. Switzerland is offering Greece a deal where it will pay a lump sum to let all those Greeks off their past misdemeanours so that they will simply pay a proportion of the cash they've got in Greece to clear their past tax bills, but much, much less than they would actually have ever paid in the first place. It's a very unfavourable deal for Greece because it means that all those people who've evaded tax will get away with it. That will increase the resentment in Greece towards paying tax, which we know is rising very significantly at the moment as it's become so apparent that the wealthy are not paying. The rest of the country is asking why they should too. And the reality is that if, once again, one of the policy prescriptions that the Tax Justice Network has put forward was in place, that is automatic information exchange between Switzerland and Greece on the income earned by Greek resident people who've got accounts in Switzerland, this problem could be solved. Because in that case, Switzerland would simply tell Greece, XYZ of Athens has got this amount of money sitting in an account here, or this amount of income they've earned, and begin to collect much more tax than the Swiss are offering now. It's time they opened the books to Greece to help Greece solve its crisis.
We've had the G20 world leaders meeting in Mexico this month. I'm just wondering what you think they should have done but didn't.
The G20 should be at the forefront of the whole campaign to bring tax havens under control. In April 2009, in the immediate aftermath of the crash, it was announced that they were going to bring an end to banking secrecy and that there would no more be tax havens letting people hide their money from tax authorities around the world. The G20 hasn't even begun the beginning of the end of tax havens yet. They haven't delivered automatic information exchange, which would ensure that the money hidden in tax havens is available to the countries where the tax is owing. So that the vast numbers of trillions, our last estimate was 11.5 trillions of dollars hidden in tax havens, are made available to be taxed to clear the world's debts, then of course austerity, unemployment and the lack of investment, which is going to cripple our economies for years to come, would not be necessary. It's a simple choice, but the G20 is not showing that it's got the political will to address that choice. And that's a crisis for all of us.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Murphy of Tax Research UK and author of the book The Courageous State. He'll be back next month for his take on tax justice events worldwide. And now it's time for the TaxCast special feature. The concept of corporate social responsibility has been around a long time, and companies spend a lot of money on presenting themselves as good corporate citizens. Now they're under new pressures to be transparent and pay fair taxes from consumers, citizens, and even their own shareholders. This month we look at transfer mispricing, one of the tricks of the corruption trade, and how to stop it.
Thank you very much.
This workshop's training people to be activist shareholders. They only need to own one share to attend corporate annual general meetings and ask a panel of company directors awkward questions on public record. Here they're practicing questions about transparency.
I've been a shareholder for a while now, and I've been noticing recently in the media that there's been a lot of talk about Vodafone's tax practices. In the annual report, there's no mention of the taxes that are being paid in any other country than in the UK. So I was wondering whether the board would be able to commit to actually reporting on taxes paid in all of the countries that we operate in around the world.
Okay. Thank you very much for the question. As a board, but also senior management within Vodafone are taking this issue very seriously.
Companies like Apple, Google, Amazon and others have proved how easy it is to abuse the system and avoid taxes on their profits. And there's a handy technique to help them do it. Now, multinational companies need to buy and sell services across borders to each other within their own groups. It's called transfer pricing, and there's nothing illegal about it. But transfer mispricing is illegal. It's estimated to cost governments several hundred billion dollars a year in lost tax revenue. Tax lawyer and expert David Spencer.
About 60% of world trade is estimated to be within multinational corporations. So the volume of transfer pricing transactions is very high, and the importance of this for tax purposes is extreme. The problem arises when multinational corporations engage in transfer mispricing, that is, allocating profits to low tax jurisdictions, expenses to high tax jurisdictions, when those allocations are not supported by the facts.
In other words, they're recording some transactions that didn't actually take place where they say they did in order to save money.
That's correct. There is a tremendous incentive to reduce their overall tax burden. A lot of income is shifted to low tax or no tax jurisdictions, and that income escapes all taxation.
Is it easy to discover and prosecute companies that are engaged in transfer mispricing?
It is very difficult for tax authorities to determine. Multinational corporations do not report publicly, nor to the tax authorities, all of their activities in each jurisdiction. That is, they do not engage in what we call country-by-country reporting. Country-by-country reporting would require that each multinational corporation publish a lot of information about its activities in each jurisdiction, number of employees, number and value of assets, transactions realized within that jurisdiction. In essence, enough information where the tax authorities could see whether the allocation of income and expenses by the multinational corporation is just and equitable.
You'd think country-by-country reporting is pretty obviously a good idea, wouldn't you? But companies really don't have to name each country in which they operate and report the profits they make in them. They can wrap up all their final figures into one and choose which jurisdiction to report in, often one that gives them the lowest tax bill and or the highest levels of secrecy. Some have hundreds, sometimes thousands, of separate entities for that very purpose. While it's bad news for all countries, it's a disaster for poorer ones and their tax take. David Spencer again.
The estimates are that developing countries lose at least $160 billion annually in tax revenue because of transfer mispricing, greater than the amount of official development assistance that developed countries give to developing countries each year.
Developed countries like UK lead in forming these rules. And so I think the responsibility lies in European countries and the UK government to provide the leadership to reform these rules.
Xavier Mwambwa is director of Zambia's Centre for Trade Policy and Development.
If some of these systems were closed down, or at least we had a more transparent system, how much would that affect life in Zambia?
I'll give you examples. Recently, the government announced changes to the tax regime of the mining sector. It doubled the tax, and they announced that they're going to be providing free education and free Medicare for people who can't afford, for young children and for women. So if government would actually further increase its revenue, you can imagine the sort of things that governments would do to uplift the lives of the poor people in Zambia.
But change is coming. Brazil got fed up of being cheated of tax revenue and decided it's big enough to insist multinational companies wanting to do business there observe its own simpler transfer pricing rules. Now, smaller developing countries are watching with interest. The Tax Justice Network's calling for international reform of transfer pricing rules and the implementation of country-by-country reporting.
After all, responsible companies and governments have nothing to fear from a global transition to transparency. You've been listening to the TaxCast. We'll bring you more news and analysis next month.